morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With all my heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not too long ago, both major nationwide lotteries had reached $500 million. And people were giddy at the prospect of suddenly being rich beyond imagination. Lines for tickets were long. Some people traveled to purchase their tickets at a lucky site, you know, one of those places that had already had a winning ticket show up. And I am sure that whoever won felt incredible joy. But we know there's a joy that's better available to us. The author of Psalm 119 says that he has found that kind of incredible joy by being obedient to God. Now, how can we sell this idea in today's world? How can I sell this idea even to contemporary Christians? In today's world, I would expect a response to the idea of obeying God's law, much as Walt Whitman wrote in his famous Song of Myself. He wrote that he envied the placid animals. They do not lie awake in the dark and weep for their sins. They do not make me sick discussing their duty to God. Talk about obedience to the law, and a modern day Christian may quickly respond with, "But I don't live under the law. I live in Christ." Speaking of the law is almost taboo. One of the burning desires of the present day church is to be relevant and contemporary. And we're told that it is the only way that the church can be eye-catching in today's modern world. We must conform to the world. There are websites, webinars, books, and training seminars for church leaders to learn the latest gimmicks for drawing the crowds to their church. It would be so easy to fall into the habit of the citizens of Athens as described by Luke in Acts 17, verse 21. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Now, lest we think the temptation to dilute the truth in order to attract or to appease the masses is unique to the 21st century, hear what the prophet Jeremiah said to the Jews around 600 BC, as recorded in Jeremiah 6. First, let's hear the problem. From the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, "Peace, peace," where there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. But now hear the Lord's solution to the problem. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Being modern and relevant have a place in the church. However, they do not have a place in God's message to us. It is current on its own. It is relevant and it does not need updating. Distorting or disregarding God's holy word has led to the current morale and ethical breakdowns, even within the evangelical church. So, assuming that we're still walking with the Lord in our church, how do we remain secure in Him, both in our church and in our personal lives? Looking at today's psalm, we see a young man who's been forgiven. But now what? What happens after forgiveness? Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Now talk about being counter-cultural. The world would tell a young man and woman, there's no need to stay pure. You know, that's old-fashioned, downright puritanical. While the meaning of this verse does include abstention from sexual relations, the scope is much broader. It means purity in all areas of life, being free from all moral taint. To maintain this moral life, one must live it according to God's word. So what does Scripture tell us about living your life? It says a lot. From clean speech, good morals, eating in a healthy manner, to what to read, what to think on, and how to interact with others. Even more, Scripture tells us this will lead to a joyful life. Listen to the man's prayer, verses 10 and 11. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. After forgiveness comes obedience. Obedience to God is guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit through the Ten Commandments. We live under grace, and the law of God sets the standard and pattern for our lives. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Too often, the quote ends there, leaving the hearer to think that we're done with the law, that it has no authority over us. However, the rest of the Matthew 5 passage is, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We still live under the law, but thanks be to Christ, we do not die under the law. So how does the psalmist say that we go about storing God's word in our hearts? Well, first, he asks God to teach his statutes. And how does God answer this request? He provides pastors to teach and explain God's law and God's direction and plan for his children's lives. He provides his plan in writing in the Bible for us to read and study. It's been said that the best way to strengthen one's faith is to give it away, to bear testimony to the grace and mercy of God. After studying God's law, the young man says that he will speak the law. To have a verbal testimony to God's word that is believable, there must be a consistent lifestyle. Walk that backs up the talk. James 1 verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In verse 14, the author speaks of delighting in God's testimonies. Now we know what a testimony is, but how does God testify to us? Well, he testifies through the life examples of his followers. Ask God to teach you his will. Pray for guidance. He may place someone in your path who will teach you or guide you in your study of the word. God will grant you enlightenment as you spend time in the word. In verse 15, the young man says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. If we listen to, read, and memorize scripture, but do not really meditate on it, we can still wander off. We need to ponder, to think about it, to deliberate over God's word. Look at it from different angles. Discuss it with other Christians and apply it in practical ways. As Joshua 1 verse 8 put it, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Finally, the psalmist says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. What the world says is restrictive as a source of light and delight for a believer. As the anthem, America the Beautiful, put it, we find our liberty in law. To live a joyful life, we must live within the law of God. Yes, Jesus died for the consequences of our sins. He fulfilled our death sentence. We live as forgiven people. But in that forgiveness, we have a responsibility to live according to the Father's plan and desire for us, that we would be living examples to others. Let us pray. Holy God, how can anyone stay pure in this world that is so tainted by sin and selfish greed? Despite this, we place our hope in trusting you and in your commandments. Today we praise you for your gift to us of your commandments that were given to help us live together as your people within a community of faith and in this world. May they help us to understand the priorities of living as your people, to love and worship you, and to express that holy relationship in all our other relationships. Amen.